Good morning. It's the 13th of November. Our first reading today is Ezra chapter 9. I'm going to read to you from Michael Ashton's book, The Exile's Return. I read. Ezra appreciated the necessity for those who had returned to act as befits representatives of the whole nation. The day of opportunity does not last forever, so he said. Now, for a little space, grace hath been shown from the Lord, our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place. That's chapter 9 and verse 8. Ezra's deep and perceptive understanding of the word of God is revealed in the very language he used. Previously, Isaiah had spoken tellingly about the nail, and Ezra's use of this imagery can only be properly appreciated by looking at this earlier use. Describing Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, but in terms that looked forward to the coming of Messiah, Isaiah said, "The key of the house of David will I, that is God, lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne in his father's house." That comes from Isaiah chapter 22. Ezra recognized that the nation's continuing worship at the temple, the representation of God's presence among them, depended wholly upon his grace and mercy. Their nail, that is, their constant and sure abode, was predicated on God's eternal purpose centred in the Christ who was to come. The nail here is therefore neither the temple itself, as some have suggested, nor the princes or the priests, but the hope embraced by the returning exiles. Upon their faithfulness rested for a time the hopes of all Israel. Ultimately, of course, the nail is Christ himself. On him God has hung his whole purpose. All our hopes are pinned, that is, nailed, on Jesus as Saviour and Christ as King. Whereas the faithfulness of the returned exiles would fail, his did not. And through his gracious work, others have the opportunity to find support from him. A place in the Father's house is thus reserved for all those who, like Ezra, prepare their hearts to seek the law of the Lord. Constant reading of the law and prayerful meditation upon it sharpens and sensitizes the conscience. As the wise King Solomon wrote at the conclusion of his consideration of man's duty before God, "The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd." That's Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Yet Ezra feared that the people's behaviour in associating in marriage and thus joining in affinity with the people of these abominations would quickly result in God's turning from them and hiding his face in anger, "Till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping." His understanding of God's purpose was so strong that Ezra was more concerned about its failure because of the people's behaviour than he was of his and their personal destiny. God's righteousness had to be upheld. How could they, in their unrighteousness, stand before him? Ezra's example and personal dedication provides a fitting example for all of us to try to follow. Thank you for listening to me.